Well, we're going to start off a little bit differently, but really probably in a new practice. This is the most important part of the service. And really, you know, God has structured a way for us to come to know Him and to worship Him. And we can do it our own way, but we will never experience Him outside of that structure. Now, each one of us are an individual, and we all relate to God, and God speaks to us in different ways, and He guides us in different ways. But there's certain structures that God gives us about coming before Him that helps us remember who we're coming before, that helps us remember who we are and what prayer is about, and why we open up His Word to make sure we're hearing from Him and not the ideas from someone else, and why we are coming to hear from Him for Him to reveal to us who He is. And so we structure our services to do that. And we've been talking for probably over a year about how do we make more space for prayer? How do we make more space for people who are not used to being quiet or still before God to start to build that spiritual discipline without their mind wandering? And so this is part of what we're going to do. I'm going to have a verse up there, and I want you to realize that we have gone through the stages of doing what God has given us as a structure. We're supposed to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Now, that could be different for every one of us. There are different things we're grateful for. But we start off by recognizing He's the giver of everything. And I'm coming to the one who I wouldn't even have life if it was not for Him giving it to me. He opened my eyes. I need to remind myself, who am I entering into? And then I need to praise Him, and I need to remind myself that He is much bigger, much greater, and much more important than everything else in my world that is going to distract me and keep me from having my mind set on Him when I have my quiet time. And we structure our service that way. That does not mean that everybody is experiencing that. But that's what we want to be able to develop, the spiritual discipline, not just to know what God says, but to understand why He says it, and then to have the wisdom to actually put it into practice, because you're not going to experience God if you're not putting it into practice. And so what I want to do right here is I'm going to give you about a minute, and we're just going to look at this verse. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving, because we've prepared our hearts to do what? To hear from God. We have prepared our hearts to encounter God, to let Him reveal Himself to us, to let Him examine our hearts and see what adjustments we need to make to walk with Him. It's real easy to go through the sermon and just get some more doctrine. But that's not what this is for, and it's not what we're preparing ourselves for. So I'm going to give you just a moment to look at that and to think about what you're really grateful to God for. What has God given you? And who is He as that giver? So let me give you just a moment in silence just to be still before God. Father, we come before You and we humble ourselves under Your mighty hand. We're not coming with pride. We're not coming to ask You to help us achieve anything or to help us to be exalted or to be stronger or to be better or to have anything in this world. We're coming before You to acknowledge that everything worthwhile having is a gift from You. Especially our salvation. If it were not for You opening our hearts and giving us the faith to respond to Christ, there is no telling where we would be. But we would be fighting through this world trying to achieve what amounts to nothing, that would disappear. You have given us life. life that we can live without fear because we're in your hands and we're your children. Regardless of the circumstances we face, Lord, we can live our life knowing we are loved and you are in control, that you give us a peace that we don't have to worry about what's going to happen. We're yours forever. And a joy in our hearts of knowing that everything we go through, ultimately we will see your great purpose and goodness. We are grateful, Lord, for who you are. Open our hearts to see and to remember that with every step of our life. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, I am very thankful. And one of the things that I'm really thankful for, and this last few weeks gave me an opportunity to just remind myself of, is how many great leaders we have in this church. We saw it demonstrated when Sean got up here, and when Jonathan got up here. We saw it demonstrated in the leadership we have up here. We saw it demonstrated and see it demonstrated in the individuals that are sprinkled throughout this conversation who know exactly what God's calling is. And they know that there are certain people that God has put them here to encourage, to pour into, to speak truth with love to. And it's happening all over. We see people who are growing in their understanding that truth comes from God and it sets us free. And they're opening their Bibles and they're reading and they're growing. And they're sharing what God has done in their lives. And we see that in our church and we see it multiplying. And I am grateful, very grateful for that. I love this Psalm 28:7. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." You know, you can only share Christ to the extent that that is something you live. Your spiritual growth is what you're able to share, not your knowledge up here. When you can look and you can say, "God, you are my strength, and I may be wasting away or fading away on the outside, but you're renewing me and strengthening me every day on the inside. And you're my shield. It doesn't matter what's happening in this world. It doesn't make me doubt you." Now, all of us, when we were young Christians, and we grow in our faith, we grow in our spiritual maturity, all of us doubted what God was doing. All of us have asked God, "Why?" All of us have said, "What's happening? Why is this happening to me?" Instead of being able to realize that God's got a purpose, and my question should be, "Why is this happening to me? What are you trying to achieve? Give me the wisdom to understand. How do I respond?" That takes spiritual maturity. None of us were born again and started asking that question. We all had to grow to a place where God really is our strength and God really is our shield. And we have the faith to actually believe that. So the world doesn't overcome us, but we overcome the world with our faith. And he helps me. You know, we all were at that place where things would happen and we would wonder, "Where's God? Is he going to help me? Am I going under here? What's going to happen?" But God wants us to be in a place where we know him. We know he's working. We know he's got a plan. We know he's going to help us. So we're concerned about how do I respond in a faithful way, not what miracle God's going to surprise me with to turn all this into good. I don't want to walk away from him and be the reason he couldn't do it. And so there's a big difference there. And that's what we're looking to grow. My heart leaps for joy. And with my song, I praise him. Nobody produces that. This music can't produce that. No one can give you a rousing speech or give you an encouragement that does more than make you maybe feel okay for a moment. Only God can give you a heart that is full of gratefulness to him. And that's the key. If I'm not grateful to God, if I'm questioning what's happening to me, instead of being grateful for what God is doing, I'm not going to trust him for the next step. My perspective, my thinking out of line with him separates me from God. It doesn't draw me close to him. You know, I've had three times here recently, well, I say recently for those who've been here a long time, in the last 16 years, where health-wise, it appeared I was not going to live any longer. And those are physical stops. And I've had a couple others that were not that bad, but, you know, I had a motorcycle wreck, and I had the time where I was on the long flight, and that curtailed me for a while. But it's not the same as really thinking, I'm probably not going to be here anymore. My work is done. Let me look over and see, you know, what that was. And coming to realize that there's some things that God had put in my heart for the next step that I didn't feel like were done yet. And they required some change. They required a change of focus. That's one of the reasons I love your story. Because, you know, God was working in your life and using you while you were a carpenter. And then when you got to a certain place, God was ready for you to do something different, to use you in a different way. Well, that's really tough when you're making your living and you like being a carpenter, especially if you love doing it, especially if you have a vision of what you want. You know what unity is? Sean said this, you've heard me say it many times, Christ is the head of the church. But if we want to be honest, in our world, Christ is not the head of the church. Because Christ is only the head of the church in relation to how many sheep in the flock hear his voice and follow him. The word unity means we have one vision. It doesn't mean we have different jobs or different things that God's calling us to achieve that vision. But what it means is that we have one vision of who God is and who we are under him and how we will work to do our part to achieve that vision of pointing to and glorifying him. You know what division is? It comes from two words, division. Di means two. Two different visions. At one time, God had a vision for you to be a carpenter. And then God progressed, he grew you to have another vision. If you keep the carpenter vision, you are now in division. You're divided. You can hold on to that and separate yourself from God, doing what was, there's nothing wrong with it. But it's not what God wants. And so that's very, very important. And there have been some things that we've been talking about in staff for years, especially this last year. But you know what it required? It required a great change in the way I do my schedule. The problem is, I love my schedule. I love the old work that God had for me to do. This is the new work. And this is what needs to be done for me to leave this world and feel like when I leave, what God has had me do, it doesn't matter if I'm here or not. The purpose of prayer is to take our focus away from us and turn it to God. How many of you love your life? How many of you love the things that you do? That can be a blessing or it can be a curse, depending upon whether or not your love for what you do holds you back from where God is leading you. Prayer is the process by which God helps us rearrange our priorities. And let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you're going to grow. If you grow, your ability to do work is going to change. As it changes, God will have new vision for you. And you have to keep up or you stop growing. Now, this is a verse that we look at and we say it all the time. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And what I'm going to talk to you about is very, very important. And this is a shift in what we're going to do here. I think what we have done is exactly what God wants. I have packed my sermons with what I hope has been enlightening truth about what God's word says. I hope it's been a thing that has stretched you to make you look at God's word and see it a little clearer, see it a little broader. I believe that we have a much stronger base of understanding of what salvation is, of what sin is, of what Christ died for. But I'll tell you, when I was a coach, which I know this, girls are now putting a note down. Oh, he's talking about football again. But when I was a coach, we brought all the kids in and we got a blackboard. And we put all the X's and O's up there and we explained the offense and the defense and how they worked. And then we tested them. Because it's not enough just to know it, but you have to understand it so you can repeat it back. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But nothing we do on the blackboard is really going to change lives, because when you get on the field, guess what? They're not X's and O's on a blackboard anymore. They're moving, and they're trying to keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. And so to take the knowledge that you understand what you're supposed to do and to be actually able to do it is going to take some practice. And it's going to take some development of some skills that you can't get on a blackboard. You can't get it from doctrine. You have to do it through application. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk through, and I don't want you to be reading through this yet. If you want to take sermon notes, you can. This was Sean's idea, sermon notes. But I want you to hear why we're doing things before we do it. But basically to let you kind of get a picture of what I'm going to lay before you today, there are a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge and have a lot of understanding, but they don't have practice. So in other words, there are a lot of people who know that they need to draw near to God, and they know that God wants to draw near to them. They know that God doesn't come and bless us where we are, but he calls us to come to him and bring ourselves to a place where we bring ourselves underneath his protection and blessing. He doesn't leave righteousness to come join us where we are and bless us anyway. He calls us and helps us to come to the place where we're a part of the joy and the wonder of what he's doing. And how close we are to God is our choice. God calls everybody. And if you're over here praying that God will come down on you and change you so you'll be over here, you're in the wrong church, baby. And you need to start reading the Bible, because that's never going to happen. You choose to draw near to God. You seek him with all your heart. That's when you find him. You don't find God by praying him down or singing him down or having some kind of emotional experience. You do what God says, and it becomes a spiritual discipline, habit, or stronghold that brings you in union with God, and all of a sudden you'll start to realize, when I am listening to God and doing what he tells me, you know what? My life is fantastic. It doesn't work the other way around. That's a lie. That's the modern gospel, but it's not the gospel in the Bible. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Here's what I'm asking you, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand or say this out loud. We have many people that have heard that message, and you carve out a time to be alone with God every day. As a matter of fact, it has become a priority in your life. You realize that nothing is more important than being able to take time out and be in God's presence and let God speak to you about what he wants you to do today and how to apply his word. As a matter of fact, just like David writes, it has created a longing in you to be alone and still before God. Because you know what happens in your relationship when you take time and clear everything out for the most important relationship that you have. And you spend that time, and it is rich and rewarding, and you thirst for it. Nobody gets that without discipline. Nobody knows God who does not draw near to God. You can know that, you can understand that, but what I'm asking you is, do you do that? I know some of you are some of you doing here, because I hear the wonder of what that creates in your life. And I can see when you get into trouble or circumstances close in, I see the faith that that produces. And the only way to have that peace and that joy is to be alone with God. It's the only way to develop it. And it's the only way that the Bible tells us that we're going to be able to live the life that God wants us to. The rest of that verse says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's really interesting about it is this verse, you sinners. You know what most people think when they see that? I've got to stop doing bad things. Well, if you're doing bad things, let me tell you something. You're not very close to God. And I'm talking about those big things. If you're lying to people and you're manipulating people and you're using people, if you're thinking about cheating on your wife, if you're doing all those things, you got a lot of repentance to do to even be in a place to get to know God, because you have separated yourself by your choices a long way from where God is. When I think about that, I think about what Daniel was talking about. Sin is separating yourself from God. Daniel could have said, hey, I got a secure income here. I can see that you're giving me some signs that this is not where you want me, but that's not what I want to hear. I'm going to find a way to make this work because this is where I want to be. Is there anything wrong with where I'm at? No. You know what's wrong with it? I'm not listening to God anymore. I'm not letting him lead me. I've already said in my mind, I want to be in a different place. This is where I want to be. Now, does that mean that's not where God wants me? No. The problem is that I'm not listening anymore. I'm not really humbled under God as his servant to do whatever he says. I just go to a Bible study and I can repeat those things so I feel good about myself. But in reality, being a sinner means that I am not aligned with what God's purpose for my life is. What is your purpose for your life? If you're saying, well, I don't really know. Well, that's a signal that you need to draw close to God. You will never find out if you do not designate a time to be with God. Let me tell you something. If there was something that you do, like you're a financial man, Carter, if you were trying to figure out some ways to move up to do some other things, and there was somebody that was an expert at it, that was willing to meet with you and teach you, I'll guarantee you'd set an appointment for that. And I'll guarantee that you would rearrange your schedule to be there every single day until you learned it. Is that how we see God? I mean, there's some honest looking at where we're at and what we experience. And it has to do with, everything has to do with our relationship with God. And we only develop that if we're willing to have one. So purify your hearts, you sinner. And that means when I open up that Bible and when I am listening to God in that space, what I'm really wanting to know is, God, where do you want me to be? That's going to reveal to me whether or not I'm willing to be there or not. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Does God have one vision for your life and you've got another vision? And you want to please God, but you also want to do it your way? Well, let not that man think he's going to get what? Anything from the Lord. You have to be in a place where you realize who God is. And really, if you're not reminding yourself every day of that, pretty soon, we don't see God that way. We just don't want to admit it to ourselves. I will instruct you. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. That's what God says. I will guide you with my eye. You know, I remember when my boys were younger, and Isaac was a little boy and Aaron was really, really little. My mom's sister had married a new man and they came down to visit. And he noticed that when Isaac was doing things like this, he's a kid, he's doing stuff. And I would look over at him like that and he'd kind of move. And he didn't do that out of fear. because I was never really harsh with Isaac. I was firm, but not harsh. But he did that out of respect and love. And so this goes on for a while, and we're sitting at a restaurant, and we're eating, and Rich asks Isaac, he goes, who's the boss in your family? Is it your mom or your dad? And he goes, well, they're both the boss, but my dad's the real boss. And he looked over at me, and he said, you guys are doing a good job. God wants to guide us with his eye. He can't do that if you don't know him. He can't do that if you don't know his heart. He can't do that if you don't spend time with him and have a relationship where you are used to the Holy Spirit revealing things through his word into your heart. You don't get that through doctrine. You don't get it through knowledge of the Bible. You get it through knowing the Lord. I love this in John 5, 39 and 40. It says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think in them you have eternal life. That's a Bible study. And you cannot know God without having a good, firm foundation of what the Bible says. And the more you know him, the more you're going to read his word. But you're not going to find life in those words. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, Jesus says. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life. You'd rather study the scriptures and be an expert in them so you can debate them like the Pharisees did. But that's not the purpose of salvation. I want you to remember this. Jesus Christ did not die so you can go to heaven. Jesus Christ did not die so that you would be forgiven. Those are benefits of coming to realize that I am separated out of my kingdom. And I feel like God is probably mad at me now, so there's no sense in me trying to come to him. But Jesus Christ came and died to reconcile us to God. And part of that is because he's forgiving. And part of that enables us to be with him forever instead of separated forever. But we are now made ministers of reconciliation as if God is appealing through us the gospel. What is it? Be reconciled to God. It's being personally reconciled to God. That's the gospel. Let me just give you this story that I read. I can't remember the names now, but anyway, there was a guy. He was a preacher, famous preacher, and he's reading Isaiah 53, and he's in his room, and he's reading about Jesus Christ coming and living a sinless life and growing up and being abused and dying on the cross for us. And yet he brings forgiveness to us. He's dying for our sins because he knows that through this, some eyes will be opened and we will become God's children. He'll be the firstborn among many brethren. He will bring born again spiritual life to us. He will save us. And he's reading that and he just feels this overwhelming understanding of how much God loves him. And he cannot believe the presence of God that's there. He's so overwhelmed. He just falls to his knees and he starts praying to God and says, God, thank you for loving me. I cannot imagine how much you love me to do that. He said, I will do anything for you. And about that time, his wife knocked on the door. And he said, what is it? And she said, well, there's a phone call here and it's Dennis. And he goes, oh my goodness. Dennis has always got problems, so I'm always trying to tell him he can't ever say things. All I'm gonna do, I don't have, and he goes, just tell him I'm praying, I'll call him later. And he went back to pray, and this is what God said. I spoke to you, but you're too busy praying to do what I told you. That is a lot of people's lives. We got all the religious trimmings and we're doing all the religious duties, but we're not really looking for God to give us an assignment so we can walk with him and do what the Spirit says. And I love that. Here's our next verse, John 13, 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? Yeah. And that's the New King James. A lot of your translations say, if you know these things. Because if you don't know these things, if you don't have the data, if you don't have a good foundation of Bible knowledge, you can't do what God's saying because you can't understand it without the big picture. And so growing to know God is a process, and no one has that happen without putting in the time. Psalms 32:8 says this, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. That's what God wants to do and promises you. I will advise you and watch over you, not give you a bunch of laws and wisdom tips that you're going to conform yourself to so you're a better person. But God is going to advise you, and he's going to teach you what the path is he created you to walk. It's personal. And that's what he promises us. The rest of that verse goes on in verse 9. It says, don't be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. I'll tell you, that picture right there represents exactly how my spiritual life used to be years ago. God had to really push me to get me someplace, or else he had to do this. I had to have some discomfort to make me move in the right direction. And I still do that some, but I don't want to do it. I want to be sensitive to hearing God's word. I've meditated on this verse probably for the last 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a little longer. I'll probably meditate on this verse every morning for some time to come because it's so important. Then God, speaking to Ezekiel, then God added, Son of man, let all of my words sink deep into your own heart first. Listen to them carefully for yourself. Because you can only communicate what you know and how God has renewed your mind and transformed your heart. The rest is what flesh does. I give you my understanding, that's my human understanding. I give you what God has changed my heart in, that's spiritual. And what's done of the flesh is done of the flesh, what's done of the spirit is done of the spirit. We have to have that part where we're seeking God to change us. Then it says, go to the people in exile. Hey, I remember when I was really separated from God. I'm still not where God wants me to be, but I'm getting closer on a journey. We're all in exile to some extent, but there's lots of people, our children, our neighbors, the people we work with, our schoolmates. Some of them are so far away from God, they're completely cut off from him. And what is our message? This is what we say. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You know, no one can say Jesus is Lord outside of the Spirit of God. They can say the words, but they can't say Jesus is Lord. He is the sovereign Lord. He rules. And if you can't see that in my life, when I speak those words, I'm sowing division between you and God. I'm not confirming what God has done. I am negating what God has done. I'm saying God is a sovereign Lord, but I'm not going to follow him myself. You should. That cannot be the message that we're doing. We have to be concerned about, number one, am I following the Lord? Do I know what God wants me to do? Am I living my life with God ruling my life? God can use me in great ways. For every step I grow closer to that, God can send that message. None of us are perfect. None of us do it perfectly. But that's the message of someone being redeemed. Do this whether they listen or not. I love it. Come follow me, Jesus says. That's all we're ever asked to do. Come to him. Draw near to him. Listen to him. Hear what he is saying. Try to follow that. Try to do it. Let him empower and let him mature us to be able to do it more and more. Everything else in there comes after the and it's all what God does. As a matter of fact, we never really know what God is trying to do with our obedience. We just know that's what he wants. And I will make you fishers of men. And that's the goal of what God wants to do. That's the only eternal thing in our lives. That is God's will for us, for him to be able to speak to us and for us to listen and for us to obey so that he can speak through us to other people to realize that's what's missing in my life. What else in this world that you do has any meaning? None of it. None of it. It only has meaning to us. And if we're willing to trade what God wants to do in our life and the eternal worth of why he created us for something on this earth, we truly are blind. We truly are blind. And so I've got this, and what we're going to do right here is we're going to step through, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through the obstacles to having a relationship with God. And every one of us in here has either gone through these or is going through them and needs to understand how to help other people come through them. Because our choices to be close to God are not natural choices. They are spiritual choices. Our natural heart does not want to conform to God. It wants to have pleasure. Just think about all the excuses that you have about whether you spend a lot of time with God or no time with God. The excuses are the same. Why don't you spend more? What is it that keeps you from being towards God? There's some of you that scrolling on Facebook keeps you from any time with God, or watching YouTube, or whatever. I'm not saying anything's wrong with those things unless you cannot spend time with God and be still before God because your mind is still on, well, I got to get back to. This is what we're talking about. If you want to have a relationship with God, this is the only thing we're going to look at the first week. You have to make room. If you don't make room, it's all talk. That's all it is. Christ died for you to have a relationship with God. If that's not valuable enough for you to spend some time with him, the rest is all talk. And if you can't take some time and allow that practice to form in you the ability to do what is supernatural, which is have communication with God, you're never going to enjoy it so much that you will trade the world for it. Because when we're good at things, we want to do them. When we're not good at things and we don't benefit immediately, we are really vulnerable to temptation to just do something else. And so that is what the first part of this is going to be about, making room for God and making space. And I'll tell you this, you're going to have to make a decision right in here that you're going to remove some things from your life, or you're going to have to make the decision that knowing and hearing God and having him direct your life is not really that important to you. You would rather have something else. And that's just the reality of it. You can't jump this step. Next week, each week we're going to take one thing and we're going to look at how do I remove the things that keep me from having a relationship with God. Number one is this. You have to designate a time. You have to designate a place. I can't fit God into my schedule. I need to schedule that important appointment with him and say, nothing is going to interfere with that. It has to be in a place where I'm not going to get interrupted. I can't do it with the TV going in the other room. And so there's some choices that you're going to have to make. Now, if you will open up this booklet right here, I'm not going to go through it because this booklet it's not a Bible study where I'm teaching like I am right here. This is an interactive structure for you to do the meditations that I'm sharing with you so that you have your revelation from God. And so if you'll open this up, what I want you to do today is at some time, I want you to read through these first couple of pages. And as you read through, you will start to see that this is showing you what the structure to have a relationship with God is that includes those things about carving out a time you're going to be with him. And it also will kind of go through and guide you on how you enter into that time. And if you'll turn over here, these next two pages are really something. Each booklet's going to have these first four pages. And you can read through this and you'll understand that, you know, you're not going to look at one verse and that's all you look at. You're going to grow in a hunger to know God's word. And this is really showing you some basic ways of how to approach God's word to get the things out of it God wants you to have. And then if you'll turn to page 6, thank you. If you turn to page 6, you'll notice that each day there's one day. And it doesn't have much on it. Like on the first day, you're going to take this one verse. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I want you to write that verse down in this section because it gives you just another tool of being able to experience, to learn. And then I want you to take some time and I want you to think. I want you to slow down and go through those verses. And I want you to say, what, I'll read it like I wrote it, what appeal and guidance do you see God communicating to you in each phrase? Take a little time and go through each one of those and say, what exactly is he really trying to say to me? And then, this next little section says, what do you understand about what God desires from you and how you can apply them to grow in your relationship with him? If God speaks to us, there's going to be some kind of action step that we need to take. I mean, unless you're just perfectly in line with God, which I doubt, if you really listen to him, you're going to know that there's some movement you have to make. It's all academic if you won't make the movement. So what in this one verse does the Holy Spirit speak to you and tell you, here are some changes that I need to make? Write those down. And then write yourself a little prayer asking God to do that. If you don't spend any time with God, you can do this in 5 minutes. If you're somebody who spends a lot of time with God, like I was just looking at somebody who was nodding to me, and I know they spend an hour a day doing it already. I could speak all fall on this one verse. It's so packed with meaning and application. So the time is what you decide you're at. And what I want you to know is you need to pick a time frame that's in line with your growth. If you come here and you're not spending any time with God consistently, and you say, I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day, I'll guarantee in 2 weeks you won't be spending any. But if you look there and say, I'm going to take a few minutes to really be in God's presence and hear from him, you will slowly grow faster than you think. But no one is going to grow if they don't do it. And so what I want you to do right here is just, I'm going to give you just a moment to bow your head and to still your heart. And I just want you to communicate to God whatever he has spoken to you, what he has put on your heart. I just want to give you a few moments to express that to the Lord. Lord God, we want to know you. And there's not too many people in this room who are spiritual babies who don't understand who you are or what you're about. We know that Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross so we would discipline ourselves to be better people until we die and everything changes when we get to heaven. But he opened up the door for us to be reconciled to you, to have a relationship with you. That he told us that eternal life is to know you. And your Holy Spirit now lives in our hearts, and he will guide us into all truth, and he will reveal to us who you are. Your word will become alive and powerful in our lives as we walk with you and as we know you. And as you give us everything that's necessary for a godly life through the knowledge of Christ, we see your love, we see your heart, we see the world from a different perspective. We see ourselves as masterpieces in Christ, created to perform good works that you created us for. There's no random chaos to our lives. We're your children, the children of the God who is in control of all of the world. And we want to know you. We thank you, Lord, that you want to know us. And I pray wherever we are that you will touch our hearts and impress on our hearts right now that anything we think is more important than knowing and growing in our relationship with you is an illusion that's deceiving us. Create in our hearts a longing to be in your presence. Create in our heart a thirst for the love and the joy and the peace that passes understanding that comes in your presence and cannot be known anywhere else. We need you. We want you. And we ask you to help us to make room for you so that we can love you with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength and respond to that love that you give us, even though we can only give a small little taste of that back. We thank you in Christ's name, and we ask you to help us draw near to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.